This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Central Bank, City of Hope, Kelly's Home Center, Pindertal, Prince Masters, RF Bank & Trust, Raw Star Assurance, Skin Solutions, Southwest Plaza, and Star General Insurance Simple.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to See Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, you can call us on 323-6232, 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us today on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Budget debate continuing in the House of Assembly. Can't say that have too many new pieces of information arising out of CM, saving except for some rows that are going on. If you want a quick update on some things, the minister responsible for national insurance, the Honorable Alfred says that NIB is facing huge deficits, $32 million shortfall projected for 2025. I wonder how that connects to the increase in national insurance. Maybe that increase hasn't really caught up to the fund yet, so the deficit situation remains, or it could be that even with the increased fund from the increase in the rate, there is still more call on the fund than even that provides. And so the fund remains in challenge for sure. We're going to explore that a little bit more, but the minister did indicate that the policy adjustment has impacted the fund's revenue position, generating an additional $4 million per month, which would be some $48 million a year. And so he indicates that increase has been essential to NIB's ongoing efforts to strengthen its financial stability. But it says in July of 2024, the NIB contribution rates increased by 1.5 percentage points. However, the deficit remains significant for 2025. Being around $32 million. And I think he has indicated that the increased commitments, payments by the fund continue to outpace even revenue increases. So that'll explain the continuing difficulty with the fund. Surprise, surprise. Right? To the assembly, House of Assembly, the always when these the budget debates come up, there are things that are just purely political in nature. So Shannon Dawn Cartwright has had cause to say in the House of Assembly that a probe. And of course, you know, he's the deputy leader of the Free National Movement and the member of parliament for St. Barnabas. Says that a probe into Bahamas Public Parks and Public Beaches Authority had no evidence that that would negatively reflect on him. And so therefore, he's been cleared by that probe. He says... in his state is a debate, he says, in the wake of the 2021 general election, much public discourse ensued, marked by genuine questions, but also in misinformation, disinformation, and frankly falsehoods regarding my tenure as executive chairman of the Bahamas Public Parks and Public Beaches Authority. He said during the debate, he said, as a result, a determination was made to initiate an inquiry to examine the validity of those claims. Cartwright, this is a news article by in the Nassau Guardian, written by Tamika Thompson, I'm reading from, by the way. He says he welcomed the investigation because he knew the truth would eventually win over propaganda and misinformation. And so today, free of malice, resentment, or grievance, I rise to inform this Honorable House that I have been reliably advised that in October last year, the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions concluded its findings into inquiry into the operations of the Bahamas Public and Public Parks and Beaches Authority during my tenure. Now, this is interesting news, right? Interesting news, because the deputy leader of the FNM is saying that an inquiry regarding his tenure as chairman of the Public Parks and Beaches Authority, Public Beaches Authority, went as far as the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions. So let me ask you a question. How does a matter get to the Office of the Director of Public Prosecution to see if a prosecution should move forward? How does that happen? I'm asking because I don't know. Maybe that office has broader remit than I'm aware of. But I always thought, I could be dead wrong, folks, please. And if you're out there, you have knowledge and you can help me with this, I'm happy to have that knowledge. I always thought that a matter would go to the police first as a matter of inquiry about some complaint about breach of law. So in this case, I'm asking, was a matter put to the police to investigate? And ordinarily what would happen then is the police would call in said suspect or something for questioning and do all kinds of investigations around that involving other people. Was that done? If that was done, I have no knowledge of the scene. I'm just may not know. And then the police, on gathering whatever evidence it believes it needs to make a case, would send the matter to the Director of Public Prosecution to see whether they would want to move on the matter. And they could then decide, no, this is not sufficient evidence, or yes, this is sufficient evidence to proceed with the prosecution. That's how I always thought it worked. And the deputy the deputy leader, the member of parliament for St. Barnabas is saying that last October, the Office of the Director of Public Prosecution concluded its findings into the inquiry. And nothing came of it. That's very strange. Right? That it happened, that there must be more in that, in there. Now, I'll tell you this much. I believe him when he says he's been cleared of anything, if there was anything. Why? Listen to me, man. And I mean this with all my heart. When you have been in public life and you've been in political life, oh my God, your world is a matter of facts, rumors, innuendos, and outright lies many, many, many times. Okay? That's just the reality of it. Facts, I say, too. It's not just fiction. Some things they say about us in public life are true. Right? Other things, nothing but rumors, innuendos, and sometimes outright lies. And this is on all sides of the political divide that this thing happens to people. Happened to them, happened to their family, happened to their friends, happened to their acquaintances. It happened to your pastor and all, if people want to go that far. So, now, I don't care what anybody said. If the PLP know the FNM that they think could undermine, undo them in respect of their effort to remain the government, if the FNM knows something about the PLP in their effort to become the government, you better believe that there is a high probability that thing will be used for that purpose. And it's been like almost, the prime minister himself said, we are 1 year out of an election. That means you got almost 4 years of governance and gone. And Shannon Dawn Cartwright's name has not come up in any substantive, anything in relation to any misdealings, misgivings, or anything done at the public parks and public beaches authority. Not in the small little society we have. Because you're now we go. Right? So obviously, whatever they thought or people thought was there isn't there to warrant any major issues at all. So I believe him when he says that, you know, mind you, of course, this is all going on during a budget debate, by the way. It's a budget debate. And that is the discussion he is having to have. Anyway. Say now. Okay. So, let me finish up with a couple of these news items still. As a matter of fact, let's take a break first, and then when we get back from the break, we continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chavago Lang. Take a stand, everybody.
Are you looking to save for a big purchase or occasion? Do you want your money to start making money for you? Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Bond, the Bahamas Government Savings Bond. I am guaranteed to earn interest on your money with terms ranging from 1 to 6 years. Government savings bonds are available to all Bahamians, and for as little as $100, you can start to save for your future. The Bahamas Government Saving Bond, a safe investment guaranteed. Check out the Central Bank of the Bahamas website for details.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashi Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, explore.
Family life is full of joy and challenges. With a Fidelity personal loan, you can handle life's surprises while focusing on what matters most. From home renovations to unexpected expenses, our loans are fast, reliable solutions to any problem life throws your way. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Are you all keeping up with the budget at all? Listeners, are you up? Anybody? Are you following the presentations? And if you are, what are you gathering from them? What are you hearing from them? It's the budget debate of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. This is a discussion about spending almost $4 billion over 12 months upcoming. That's what the budget debate is. $4 billion in spending by your government over 12 months has practically $333 million on average a month to be spent by the government. It involves also some policy changes in the way of taxation and the like. What's your, are you keeping up? Are you following? Are you learning? Anything at all? Okay. Did y'all know that there is a public-private partnership policy that was promulgated by administration sometime, I think, in 2018, I believe it is. Did y'all know that? There is. So there's not a law. Remember, I was calling for a law. But there is a public-private partnership policy that was established in September of 2018. It is a written public-private partnership policy. It defines what a public-private partnership is. It provides for the objectives and scope of a public-private partnership. It provides for public-private partnership commercial principles. It provides for risk allocation and management, for payment mechanisms and performance specifications. It provides for fiscal incentives. It provides for refinancing. It provides for dispute resolution mechanisms. It provides for termination provisions. It provides for renegotiations. It provides for institutional responsibilities for PPPs. So that it talks, there is a, it's supposed to be a PPP steering committee, supposed to be a PPP operational unit. There's supposed to be a PPP project teams. It's supposed to be PPP reviews and approvals. There, it provides for PPP procurement processes. So it provides for PPP project identification and screening, for a business case for the PPP, for transaction implementation, for contract management, for unsolicited proposals. It provides for fiscal management and accounting for PPPs. It provides for transparency and accountability for PPPs. It has an annex that has common PPP structures. Basically just the other things are just logistical things to help people understand the PPP. And so, so I would wonder. So remember now, many times people say, let's do things, and have continuity between administrations. Well, that was started under the Minister's administration. I wonder if that is governing the way PPPs are operated today. It's only a policy, but I wonder, right? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing? Hey. Hello? Hello?
Hi, hello, how you doing? Yes, sir. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, yeah, Mr. Langer, you asked if you know, about following the budget. I dip in and out. I started to listen to Mr. Clay Sweeting today, the Minister of Works, you know, and he started off right where the Prime Minister started off. He tried rehashing the same thing about when they come into power and all this thing. And Mr. Pinder had to rise on two occasions to point out to him the fact that the economy was closed down, and, you know, and they were already sort of turning the curve, you know. And so I wonder, you know, the Prime Minister already been over that 100 times. Why you have to come there and just get into your presentation and move on, you know? And the other thing is that I think for the most part, the government can do what the government can do anyhow. And the PAC, which is supposed to be the body that is designed to interrogate government spending, don't seem to have the power in order to do so. So, I mean, what can we do? Whatever the government put on the paper, they do whatever they do. And it seems to be that even though you have rules and regulations in place, that they're not followed and there are no consequences for them not being followed. Yeah. That's my take on this whole thing. So I guess most people are just of a spirit of apathy, you know. But, I mean, that's government.
That's your take, right? But let's think it through for a minute, though, right? So, because let's think it through, okay? So forget you're in the Bahamas, anywhere in the world, in any organization. So you hire someone to do something, right? And they are supposed to do that something in accordance with rules, okay? Any organization now. Just forget it's a government. Let's say it's a civic group of officers elected. They're supposed to operate in a certain way, and they have rules that they're supposed to follow. If they do not follow those rules, what happens in that organization?
Well, I mean, according to the Constitution, you know, if they have a constitution, then they have to, whatever the Constitution says, that individual is to be terminated or whatever.
No, man, you have to think more. You have to think more deeply and clearly than that, man. It's less general than that. I'm asking you, if somebody says, I think you all are not obeying the Constitution, the bylaws, the articles of this organization, what happens next?
But I mean, the next step would be to take the matter to the courts.
Exactly, right? So someone with standing would either agitate for those people's removal by having other folk get involved and create whatever dynamic might cause them to do so, or they take the matter to court, okay? So you live in a country, and the country is a big organization. And you're saying your people are not doing what they're supposed to do in accordance with the law. That's the allegation you're making. You are making other people on planet Earth now.
Uh-huh.
You are making this. But what do you think you're supposed to do?
I mean, I'm supposed to take the government to the court with the help of Mr. Fred Smith.
Okay, you could do it that way, or you could agitate, or you could present what is you believe the evidence of the impropriety being done, because just saying that somebody is not obeying the law is not evidence of anything, you know.
It's not. I mean, even though there's a written law, a law that is...
No, I'm saying you saying so isn't evidence of anything. What you have to say is Article 5B of this law says the government shall not do X, Y, and Z saving and except it provides a justification, blah, 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 blah. The government did this the other day, and I do not see anywhere a explanation or a justification for doing so. It is therefore in breach of that law.
You know, Mr. Lang, by you saying that, and I think this question came up, because you remember when Lincoln Bain confronted Mr. Pintard? And saying that, you know, as the leader of the pack, they could take the government to court, right? That as the leader, he has the authority to take the government
the public accounts committee has been around forever and forever. It is in the Parliament of the Bahamas, the Sovereign Parliament of the Bahamas. If going to court is only necessary if you deem you have to go to court, not because somebody sitting outside of it, the committee says you have to do something. You have to make a judgment. Hubert Ingram was on the Public Accounts Committee. One of the most. Did EFCM take anybody to court?
Yeah, but no, but this is the same question that we hear trying to answer. If the government refuses to answer, if they refuse to abide by the laws that they themselves pass, then the next step we say is to take the matter to the court, who the Attorney General, who is supposed to be in charge of all the courts.
Let me ask you a question. If you take the government to court and the court says to the government, you have to answer the question, right? Have to answer the question. And one of two things happens. One, the government says, the hell with the court, I'm not answering the question. Then what? The second thing is, if the government answers the question and the question explodes in their faces, what next? What has to happen after that?
If the government answers
the question and is embarrassed by the answer because it shows that they are corrupt, then what?
Well, I mean, then the only other thing is, I mean, the government like that, okay, all it does is exposes them. And exactly.
That's what the Public Accounts Committee has to do if it discovers impropriety. Expose them, because the end result would be the same thing as going to court, which is the people get to see, I have a corrupt government and bugger. When you call election, I can deal with you.
So why
waste time with the courts? Why waste the court's time when I could do the same inquiry and bring you the same information that shows these buggers here are actually corrupt? Yeah. And if they aren't answering the question, I know they're corrupt, or I know they got something to hide because they ain't answering the question.
So what you're advocating is that the PAC, or those who have the ability and the authority, is to do what I guess we normally do and leak this information out into the public for the public to make their
make a report to the Parliament of the Bahamas exposing what you have discovered, exposing what the government refused to answer, exposing what the government has done in keeping civil servants from preparing before you, every single lick of everything done, and then you get to say, you make your mind up, people, if this is the kind of government you want.
Right. But I mean, I agree. I mean, in one of your early statements, you said that if the PLP or the FNM had something on someone, and if that was would make them look better in the eyes of people, of course they would, you know, expose it, right?
Because you're
trying to make your opponent look less than you are. So this is a weapon to me in the hands of the opposition.
Well, the public accounts committee. Remember now. It is the tradition of the Bahamas, the rule of the House of Assembly, that the government, that the opposition has a majority of members on the Public Accounts Committee, and it is chaired by an opposition personality, more often than not the leader of the opposition.
Right.
This is a standing structure. So it is intended not to be an embarrassment mechanism. It's intended to be a watchdog.
Right.
That's the intent of it. And to be able to have the power not to be overcome in its reporting by a majority of government members, since it's the government that is being inquired about on the committee. So no one should look at it as this is a way to embarrass the government. No, the job is to make sure you are operating transparently, accountably, and non-corruptly. That's right. The job.
That is your job. That is your job. Yeah.
And
that
so if I have to come and say, and the Public Accounts Committee ought to be able to come and say, you know, I did an investigation into this, that, and the next thing. We thought there might be some impropriety. Mm-hmm. It ought to have the brass to do that too.
Yeah. Well, I Mr. Langwell, unless they don't know what they are, they don't know that they got the Holy Spirit in them to that gave them the power to do what they got to do. That's all I say.
Let me tell you something. What happens? But this is my view of what happens to some to people sometimes, right? You guys in the public have conditioned politicians to want only to be able to expose big, big, big things, big, big, big nasty things. Right? So politicians think, well, if I ain't got nothing big, 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 then I really don't have nothing at all. Sometimes nothing is the story.
Yeah, wow, wow. Well, you know,
sometimes, listen, I asked 50 questions over the last 3 months in the Public Accounts Committee. I could not get one question answered. Could not see one permanent secretary, one director, one DPS, one FAS, one SAS, one AS. I couldn't see one person who would appear to answer these questions. You tell me, public, what the...
Well,
so you see what I just said? Nothing, yeah, nothing is the story.
Sometimes, you know, the court of public opinion is sometimes worse than the court of justice or you know...
In politics, the court of public opinion is everything.
Yeah.
Everything, man. At the end of the day, all the power of the state belongs to the public. All the power. Now, in between elections, she gives some of that power up to some people. But at election time, she takes all her power back. And she say, bugger, I'm going to decide who to give this to next time. And so that depends on how you behave yourself before time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. So it's the court of public opinion. I told you before, the currency of politics is popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And who does popularity belong to? Popularity is in the hand of the public.
Yes, sir.
Well, so if you want to make a man popular, I bequeath you popularity. If you want to make a woman popular, I bequeath you popularity. If you want to take your popularity a bit, bugger, come on my popularity back. You are now unpopular.
Well, that, you know, but like you say, at the end of the day, the you know, the decision is left in the hands of the electorate to decide whether...
Always, you know, always, buddy, and you should swing your sword at election time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you should really make it count. You should swing your sword at election time with emphasis. Whether you swing it for the FNM or the PLP or the COI, it doesn't make no difference to me.
Mm-hmm.
Swing your sword like a true soldier. Slash, slash, slash. Bugger, enemy of the state, be gone.
Well, we'll see, Mr. Lang. We'll see you in another year's time, the Prime Minister say, we'll see what the people will do. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Day, buddy.
Thank you, my brother. Always a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pay some respects to our public, to our sponsors, and we're gonna give them their time. All right. But let me remind you of something. Let me remind you a couple of things before we go to break. Let me remind you that Father's Day is coming up. Father's Day is coming up. So if you want to help Dad relax and recharge this Father's Day by purchasing a gift card at Skin Solutions Day Spa and Salon, Gentlemen's Facials, classic pedicures and manicures, deep tissue massages, along with a complimentary beverage, or are all made available as packages suited for that special dad. Skin Solutions Day Spa and Salon, located Cable Beach, west of Bahama. For more information, call 327-0500. That's 327-0500. Or website, skinsolutionsbahamas.net. That's skin skinsolutionsbahamas.net. SKINSOLUTIONS, bahamas.net. Also, you know, it's hurricane season. So when the hurricane season comes around, we want you to know that if you have a hurricane hit, cleanliness and safety matter more than ever. And Blanco Chemicals has you covered. This proud vending company offers a powerful line of bleach products, regular, extra strength, lemon-scented, and fabric-friendly, plus laundry detergents, pool chemicals, and more. Stock up on trusted cleaning essentials before the storm. Look for Blanco Chemicals at your favorite grocery store or call 324-1212. That's 324-1212. Or visit BlancoChemicals.com. That's B-L-A-N-C-O Chemicals.com. You better get them stocked before the storm reach. That's for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break and we'll be back after this break.
Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Winning on the court is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbed the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast. Providing patients means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3046. That's 439-3043. So as I indicated to you, there is in the government, unless the government, the Davis administration has withdrawn this policy, there is a public-private partnership policy. And according to the policy, a public-private partnership is a long-term contract between a private party and a government agency for providing or managing a public asset and associated services, significant risk and management responsibility. In this context, the private party to a public private partnership contract may be any majority privately owned company or consortium. So the government could have a minority stake in it. The second, the government agency implementing the project may be a ministry, a state enterprise, a statutory body, or any other government contracting authority. This agency retains overall responsibility for ensuring the service is provided to the public at the quality required by carefully monitoring the PPP contract. The public asset or service may be a new infrastructure or other investment, or may involve the transfer of existing infrastructure or other public assets and services. PPP may be used in a wide range of sectors and for a wide range of assets and services, provided the public sector has an interest in having the service provided. And for the nature of a public-private partnership contract may vary, but involves the private party bearing significant risk and management responsibility for the delivery of a public asset or service. Okay, and then it talks about what structures that could take on. A PPP could also be a transfer management responsibility for the delivery of public assets or service, the duration of a long-term contract. This may involve financing, designing, building, rehabilitating, maintaining, and operating the public asset and associated services, or some subsequent subset of these functions. That would be like what you have with BPL and what the company name now? Waken? I don't know. And then you have it could be remunerate the private party based on outputs delivered, such as the availability of the asset or the provision of the services to clearly defined performance standards. Payments to the private party may be made by users, by government, or by a combination of the two. Penalties may be imposed by the government party or by regulatory agencies for failure to meet contractually specified standards. Allocate risk to the public and private parties clearly, comprehensively, and a way that achieves best value for money by ensuring that each party bears those risks it's best suited to manage. So that's the definition and scope of partnership policy. I was looking for the procurement provisions in it. I just got hold of this, you know. If you search long enough, you can get information. Sometimes it's getting just in the nick of time. Anyway, I wanted you all to know that there is a policy to guide the government in relation to PPPs. It was promulgated by the Minister administration as to whether it is being followed today. I don't know. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Minister, and good afternoon to your listeners. How are you doing today?
Right here, man, right here.
Okay, Minister, tell me something. This three people would be talking about, I was listening to you explaining to us that, either that information just now, and I was wondering if we would I be wrong, just because I can't remember the agreement or what it was with the present post office with the Town Center Mall. Is that like a PPP also?
You mean the one where the Minister Administration...
The government with getting it there because where they wasn't in a suitable...
That's not a PPP. That's just an outright lease.
Oh, a lease.
Remember, the defining feature of the PPP is takes on most of the risk and puts up the resources.
So that ain't the case with the post officer. He ain't doing...
No. That's just a lease.
Okay, they ain't doing most of the spending. They ain't have to do most of the work for the government and get paid back later for it.
No. They the government wanted to lease their building. They had to put the building in a position to be leased by the government.
Okay. That's what it was about, because people were saying this and that and that and square feet and all that. But Minister, also, you know, these constituency offices, all my political life, I thought, like, neither the members of parliament, the candidates, them is negotiate a lease with some kind of persons who property owners or persons who own these buildings, and then we get a constituency office in the area. But now they're talking about this PPP with different groups, companies and stuff doing a good job, I'm told, with building these constituency offices. And I understand, I mean, it's kind of confusing, the way how they supposed to pay back with over a period of years or whatsoever. But I never know the government is good as was involved with the constituency office. I know the members of parliament allocated.
I don't know the government to be involved with constituency office rental. I mean, when I was there, the government was never involved. I negotiated. In fact, the late Mario Donato used to own a building, and I negotiated with him a lease arrangement and occupied the space that he rented to me. The government never got involved.
I'm saying it wrong, Minister. Are you aware that some of these companies, like that group, that good group, Striping Company, Rachel and Nassau, his constituency, they assist the member of parliament. And I think they're using, I'm not sure, for either different government agency or whatsoever. And like I said, it's confusing to understand. I think they have one in the old Centerville area, too, with the member of parliament in that area. But I understand that these people who helped to build it, it's like they didn't do it for free. And something like PPP. And I was wondering, like...
I'm not aware.
This is the first time ever we practicing this thing. With the constituency. If they get voted, right, they can't carry his constituency office. It's continuous, like government is continuous. But I thought
It should be. If you use public funds to do it.
They can't carry office when they get voted. They can't carry them constituency. Don't care how pretty they can put pool. They could do whatsoever.
No, if public funds were used to build it, but then if you... Hold on, Papa. You know, building on land on building. So whoever owned the land owned the building.
Okay, it sounds like the private people, them, these PPP people, them. It sounds like it's them who put in the money, and we have to pick the... Like you said, that I just did not enough. And I think if they start to do this and it's legal and everything what they're doing, it must be legal. Just give us some more information and let us know, like, so we could appreciate it more, know what the government trying to do good for us, so we wouldn't speculate. Keep up the good work, sir.
All right, my brother. Thanks for calling. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, Mr. Lang. He's talking about not the constituency office. He's talking about the community centers that they have.
I was wondering. I didn't see how constituency office would be in that. You have some public-private partnerships that involve with building community centers.
Yes. Yeah, Bahamas Striping. I think the one in Nassau Village, and I don't know. I think maybe more.
Okay, so I wonder how they get paid though. How they get done money back? So it's the government. So the government then turns around and leases the center or what? I don't know. Remember, I said behind every public-private partnership basically is a private profit promise.
Yeah, but something like that should not be publicized or...
I mean, everything the government does in your name should be public saving, and except for things that might present a national security risk.
Because, like,
there should be anything you can't know and don't know if you want to know about public business.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to make this clearer to people, man.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Clearer to the public and clearer to public servants.
Mm.
You are not conducting. So that'll be like a lawyer doing my business and telling me he can't tell me what he's doing for me.
Yeah, right, right. Even though you gave him power of attorney, you know?
Even though, bro, listen to me, man. Yeah. I'm the client. First of all, worse than that, I am the beneficiary of a trust. I mean, I'm the settlor of a trust. I'm the settlor. Mm-hmm. The government is the trustee. I set up that trust with the government. And so the government has a fiduciary responsibility to me.
But you know, right? Mr. Lang, the Minister of National Security said that these PPTs, whatever it is, they will be done in all of the community. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't know.
I don't have a problem with that. I just would. It would be wonderful to know what the arrangement is. What is the arrangement that me, the member of the public, is getting put in on your behalf? I mean, by you on my behalf. Just tell me. How are they going to get paid? Is there no payment? Is this a contribution they are making as a charitable something? Just tell me. And you know, ain't no gonna stay in office forever, so it can be a time when you can find out.
Yeah, you know,
right? It might be 10 years, 20 years.
You know, once the Bahamian people awaken, they don't care what the government do.
if that is true, then ain't no problem.
Yeah, you see, so like, once people got money in their pocket, they go to Miami.
Straight.
Get it. Right. They ain't care what the government
do. Do they have money in their pocket today?
Well, I mean, some people do, some more than others. I ain't gonna.
Okay.
You probably got some, but I.
I have a couple dollars in my pocket for sure. You know, I have a bag with one buggy load of coins, bro. I need one buggy. That's so heavy, I can hardly drag that. So that's the money in my pocket.
Okay, Mr. Lang, I just wanted to.
Take care, man. Appreciate you. We got another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Brother Lang, how you doing today?
Right here, man. What's up?
Boy, right here, man. Just tuning in about 10 minutes ago, listening to this conversation. And you said something that really pricked my interest, and that is, you're absolutely correct. This is one of the reasons why many persons were really baffled why governments would not pass the Freedom of Information Act. The part that piqued my interest really should not come to the Bahamian people per se would be if it is of a national security risk. That's the only information that probably would fall under the ambit of not being public knowledge per se. But everything else really relative to government and government operating on the behalf of the Bahamian people, irrespective to their thoughts that we have no reason to know what they're doing on our behalf, per se, because that's in essence, apparently that's what they're trying to tell us, but we know it's erroneous. Everything that this government or any government administration acts on behalf of the Bahamian people should be public knowledge, and it's important to be the Bahamian people to know what they're doing on our behalf. And until we get rid of the foolish notion of allowing politicians to talk that nonsense about what they will tell us from what they wouldn't tell us, with the exception that, like I said, if it's a national security issue or it poses a risk to what they're trying to do on our behalf from a national security aspect, then yes, they have a point. But the Freedom of Information Act, that needs to be passed, and we deserve the right to know what they're doing on our behalf. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. You know, there is a world in which if the government gives you a phone that you are supposed to be able to say, oh, I'd like to know who I was called on that phone. It's public business, right? Government gives you a car. You know, I'd really like to know how much mileage was used in that car on an annual basis. Public business? My car? Still, that's my business. My phone? My business. If I use my phone for government business, that's my business. That's my phone. But if I use a government phone, I should be using a government phone for government business. And therefore, now, somebody have to make a judgment. Was this government business or was this not government business? The line could be blurred. But that's how it goes. Government business is public business. Government business is public business. Public business is government business. Government business is public business. And let me be clear with something. From time immemorial, politicians aren't interested altogether in you knowing everything they do in your name. They're not. From time immemorial, they're not. Not because what they are doing is necessarily corrupt, you know. They're not breaking any laws. They're not stealing you any money. But sometimes what they're doing represents just pure pandering. They're doing a political favor that if they had to explain it, they'd have to say truthfully, I'm just doing somebody a political favor. Now, you would immediately think, oh, that political favor is some big shot business person or something. That's not political favors. Okay, sometimes a constituent calls you and they need a document right away from the government, right? In order to facilitate travel, in order to get some this or something done. And they call you for this. Why do they call you? Because you are one of their supporters. They are one of your supporters. And if a general member of the public calls you, you might say, well, you know, you need to go and check X, Y, and Z and so forth and so forth. You mightn't pay as much attention, but does somebody call you? Yes, somebody might be. It might be a donor to your campaign. They might be someone who supports your activities in your constituency. They might be somebody who you regard as significant to your political prospects. And you get it done. You don't want to have to explain to the public, oh, that's the reason why I did it. So some questions in, they don't want to answer, but that's too bad, too sad. If you're prepared to do it, and you're prepared to do it in the name of the public, you ought to be prepared to answer the question. And even if the question is, yeah, this is somebody who has been of significant support to us, who called and required something, you might eat right away, and I facilitated it. Now you make your judgment what you want to do with me. But I'm saying it's public business all together. And ain't nothing can change that. Now let me ask you a question. If for a government to volunteer information about what it is doing in your name or to be forced to do so, which is better? Which would make that government appear to you to be a better government, to be a more trusted government, a more trustworthy government, that the government volunteers the information to you or forced to do so because you invoke some law? Which one is better? Governments work for people. Sometimes we and the people ain't gonna agree, but the government works for the people. And at least you should have the right to disagree with me because I am willing to tell you what I did. And I am willing to tell you why I did it. And if you disagree with me, and if you disagree with me vehemently, you have a right to decide what you want to do about your disagreement, because as a good government, my job is to let you know what I have done in your name and to be willing to explain to you what I have done in your name. It's a fact. And in the last administration, there were some who took this posture that they didn't need to. in the last administration that happened. It happened in administration before that. In administration before that, some took that position. And now, some take that position too. They get coy or they get cute with you, or they tell you, well, you don't need to know that, and this is what you're asking me about. Okay, then. If someone take your car and do it your car, whatever they want to do with it, don't feel like they owe you an explanation. How do they expect you to feel about your car and them? So I'd go. Antoine spoke on this show the other day. Antoine said something really, really important. I mean, really, really important. And if I'm somebody in government, if I'm somebody trying to get in government, I would listen to Antoine on this point. Antoine said, it is a mistake for you to compare your present performance to the lackluster, subpar performance of somebody else, and then pat yourself on the back if you think you're doing better. You know what I mean? That paraphrasing what he said, but this is exactly. And if Antoine listened, he could call you and tell you if he didn't say that. He said, a government must be careful not to compare their performance to the lackluster, subpar performance of somebody else who lost, and think because they're doing better, they're doing better. Mistaken. I believe Antoine alluded to Pastor Miles Monroe, who used to say that, who used to tell the story about how he came home and bragged his mommy that he was the top student in his class and he had gotten like all C's or something like that. And his mommy said, top student, say, boy, you dumb. That means everybody else dumber than you. And that is the God honest truth. It is not in the comparison to the mediocre that we find ourselves aspiring toward excellence. It is in the comparisons to excellence that we find ourselves aspiring toward excellence. That's the point. It is not in the lack of transparency and the lack of accountability of other people that we must find comfort in our partial or lackluster transparency and accountability, but in the brilliance of full accountability and transparency in aspiring toward that we should then assess how we are doing. And I can tell you, man, good government don't make you popular all the time. You want me to say it again? Good governance don't make you popular all the time. Just like good parenting don't make you popular with your children all the time. But it's the right thing to do. Texas, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. That means this government has a lot to hide because they love not to answer questions. Mm-hmm. See, the appearance of impropriety is a cloud that hangs over this government's head in every sector. Sadly, they have not been transparent. That's facts. Is Texas, good day, Mr. Lang. I've always been curious as to why I always see so many people driving government vehicles at night and on the weekends, some of which I know personally, and they are not on government business. And in fact, they don't seem to drive their personal vehicles anymore. Should this behavior be happening? If the government permits it, if the government says it's okay, if there's no rule against it, then I guess it's okay. For instance, in some instances, police officers are allowed to carry home their police vehicles because that makes them more available for immediate emergency responses. Sometimes their presence in their vehicles parked in their communities can be helpful to crime fighting, etc. So if it's a policy that's permitted. If it's not a policy that's permitted, then of course, then it's not right to do. So what you need to do is find out from the government what's its policy. Presumably, I've never, while I was in government, seen a policy prohibiting that, right? So I don't know. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back after this break. Take a step. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together.
For fast locking services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Big plans, unexpected expenses, whatever life throws your way, Fidelity is here with loans tailored to fit any of your personal financial needs. With a quick turnaround and a built-in savings that pays you interest, we make battling unexpected expenses easy. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
It's time to give away a cruise. Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel wants to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean Serenade off the seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right, no visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. Number one, fill out the form in the NASA Guardian. Number two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio on Facebook and Instagram. Number four, or make a purchase at any Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing will be taking place on July 4th, 2025. So you know what that means? Pack your bags and get ready to soak up the sun and feel the ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today on the show, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, the question about government vehicles, non-essential staff with vehicles such as vehicles should not be 8/9 to 5. Persons on call can or should have access 24 hours. My thoughts, opinion, okay? If it's policy in place, then I guess there are no rules to follow. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, it all is subject to government policy. Now, I know that there is and was some policy guiding use of government. I really don't know. But that's the rightness or wrongness of a thing depends on what the organization permits. Yeah, I understood you mean if there's no policy in place, I guess there's no rules to follow. Yeah. And that's the bottom line, is that these things matter to what the policy is. I really, I don't know. The Minister of Immigration and National Insurance says that detention and repatriation exercises are a burden on taxpayers. Every minister of immigration I've ever heard, anywhere on planet Earth, says the same thing. And of course they say the same thing, because it's true. It is a burden in that it is a thing that we have to do. But the repatriation exercises for the period of 2024 to 2025 were estimated at $1.55 million. $1.55 million. Let me tell you what that is as a percentage of the government's overall budget. Can I tell you that? What $1.5 million as a percentage of the government's overall budget is. That's point. Okay? That's 0.0004%. That's 0.042%. That's less than a half of 1%. That's less than half of 1%. I mean, of course, I know what you're going to say. You can say $1.5 million is a lot of money. Yeah, to me and you, if we had it to spend to go do stuff in our private life. But in terms of public public expenditure, that's no real money. Actually, it's amazing that that's what we're spending. Amazing, actually, given the extent to which we say that foreign national coming into the Bahamas, we probably ain't catching most of them. That's what you'd say, right? The budget for the 2025-2026 year is $1.8 billion. So it's going to go from $1.6 million to about $1.8 million. Right? So a couple hundred thousand dollar difference. The minister said that in 2024, of the 2,910 foreign nationals who were repatriated, that an overwhelming number of them were Haitians. Surprise, surprise. He said, though, that those numbers were down from the 4,594 people repatriated in 2023 and the 4,748 repatriated in 2022. That's significantly down. That's like the number being cut in half, the number of repatriations. Is that a sign that the flow has been reduced significantly? Or the capture rate has been reduced significantly? Which one is the case? I don't see that the minister said which of those was the case. He indicated that as of today's date, a mere 50 irregular migrants are housed at the detention center. 50. 50. See, now, let me tell you something. You see, says is given a budget speech. Alfred says is, Minister Alfred says is giving you numbers in relation to the monies that's being spent in his ministry and the money that's being allocated for his ministry. Listen to what he says. He says revenue collected from 2024 to 2025 is estimated to be $123 million, $123,770,590. He says this compares to $97,659,050 last year. Okay, that's a substantial increase. That's like $26 million increase, he's saying. It is also projected, he's saying, that this year coming, the Immigration Department will surpass the $140 million in revenue for the fiscal period 2025-2026. That's a budget speech he's given. That's how you give a budget speech. What did I spend? What did I spend it on? What has resulted from my spending? What am I proposing to spend next year, et cetera? Excellent, sir. I mean, according to this report in The Guardian from Rachel Scott regarding your budget presentation. That's how you give one. Yeah, they're talking all kind of nonsense, but doing what? Report to the people on the numbers so people could get a sense of what is happening. Very good. Very good. According to what I've read just now, that is how it ought to be done. That's a budget presentation. Budget presentation. But be serious about the people's money, man. Be serious about the people's numbers. I'm not talking that. I'm not talking to this administration. I'm talking to politicians who come to the House of Assembly, to the Senate, to do work on behalf of the people in relation to these financial matters. It takes discipline to go look in the book. Hello. First of all, if you're a minister, it's your book. It's your ministry. It's your ministry. The head belongs to you, so you can know what's going on and what's in the head, just like Mr. Sayers demonstrated. Right? If you are a member of parliament who's not a minister, your job is to go look in the book. Read the book the way I read the book. Go down the heads in the revenue section. Go down the heads in the expenditure section. Look at the recurring side of the budget. Look at the capital side of the budget. Look at the bottom line. Make your judgments about what you think about what was put inside there. Talk to the people about it. We're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to pay our respects to our great sponsors. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Father's Day is just around the corner, and there's no better place to find the perfect gift than Kelly's House and Home. Shower your dad with a gift from Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day sale Friday, June 6th through Saturday, June 14th. Save 20% off selected tool sets, luggage, and fishing, diving, and camping gear, except on net items. Shop Kelly's House and Home on Saturday, June 14th, and you could win a fabulous gift basket for dad. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day sale, June 6th through 14th. Happy Father's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Looking for insurance that fits your lifestyle and your budget? At Star General Insurance, we've got you covered. Whether it's motor insurance with flexible options for third-party liability and comprehensive coverage, or commercial insurance products that protect your business, we have choices you can afford. Own a home or renting? Our home insurance products have just what you need. And for the adventurers out there, we offer marine insurance too. Visit our website or social media pages for contact information and quotes. Star General, insurance made simple.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call on the show, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You can also call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can go ahead. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
A pleasant good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing? Sparky here.
Hey, Sparky, what's up?
How you doing? You know, Mr. Lang, you've taught us so much when it comes to economics, accounting, and so forth. In my life growing up, I've heard so many people go through the central bank, become ministers of finance and this and that. Most of you guys went off to universities, and when it came down to your final exam, you all beat up most of these foreigners in them universities and return home. When you all try to get a job, they tell you're overqualified. They bring foreign consultants in here to tell our government how to run our countries. And most of our government and employees went to the same university with these people that they beat the foreigners up in school.
Sparky.
But they end up bringing the foreigners in here.
Sparky. Can I tell you something? Sparky. Can you hear me?
Central bank know how to run this country.
Sparky. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello, you still there?
I'm here. Can you hear me, Sparky, at all?
Yeah, but see what Ms. Light, what I'm saying, people like you, when you give advice to prime ministers and this and that and the next, and they don't follow your advice because some foreigner come and tell them what to do. The Bahamian people at this point in my life now, at 74 years old, Mr. Light, my children can't even afford to buy property in our own country. Foreigners could come in my country. Illegal foreigners could come in my country and possess land. Shanty towns, Lyford Key, Old Fort Bay, wherever they come, they could come and take over my country. And we, the Bahamian people, can't go to our representative and say, I want to buy a piece of property in my country. We can't afford to buy the property. And if we get a loan from a bank to buy the property, we'll be dead before we'll be able to build a house on it. How the hell, Mr. Lang, are we going to say on July the 10th, 2005, how the hell, Mr. Lang, we could say we are celebrating 52 years of forward, onward, upward, together when we've been moving backward 52 years? In our country better than us, Mr. Lang?
Why are you all waiting for me now? Sometimes you got to just let it be. I ain't fighting no more, man. Let it be. Sometimes you have to just let it be. Thanks for calling, Sparky. I was going to say to Sparky, when I was in the Ministry of Finance, we had one foreigner working there. Someone we requested from the IMF. And he had been there a while and contributed gallantly to our efforts. This text is, Mr. Lang, do you know what it costs to house the immigrants on a monthly basis? I ask because I think repatriations would be less than a year or housing, my thoughts. Well, again, the minister said it was 50 people and being housed. So, you know, what is it? If the government owns the property, built the outfit there, other than the staffing and the feeding, you know, what's the cost? I really don't know. I looked in the budget for you to see if I could find it, but I didn't see anything in the budget. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I believe that those numbers have been reduced primarily because there has been an increase in granting citizenship to them. I would be if you correlate the numbers relating to repatriations and citizenships over those years you mentioned, I believe you could possibly conclude that this is the case because, or at least significantly contributed to the reduction in repatriations. No, I couldn't. Not even close. They're not even close because, first of all, repatriated persons are persons who were recently captured and captured without documentation sufficiently. A person who gets citizenship has to. I ain't asking nobody. I ain't telling you how it go. Now, if somebody doing something crooked, I can't do nothing but that. So don't get me mixed up with that. But the grant of citizenship is given by the cabinet of the Bahamas as the immigration board. That requires all the documentations to be submitted with a brief in relation to each and every individual, and each and every individual is presented to the cabinet. And do you agree that this person should become a citizen? That requires paperwork and documentation. These people who get repatriated don't have that stuff. And it requires you to comply and demonstrate and prove that you'd lived in the Bahamas for 6 years or more legally. So no, I can't agree with you on that at all. That they don't, that there's no correlation there that could work. I'm sorry. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good day, Lang, and good day, Bahamas. Question, Lang. I know you was a part of the Minister of Finance, right? I keep hearing about this sovereign wealth fund. Do you have any information on that?
On what, say again?
The sovereign wealth fund.
There isn't a sovereign wealth fund in the Bahamas anymore. The government changed that. The government created a different instrument than what is called, what you knew to be the sovereign wealth fund.
Prior to that, how did that function? How did funds get into it? And
it never did. It never did function. There was no funds in it. There was nothing submitted to it. Never did.
So what was the purpose of it?
Nothing. We had never had an active, functioning sovereign wealth fund ever in the Bahamas. We only had legislation.
So, in other words, the money that's supposed to go in the sovereign wealth fund, if we have
there is no money that's supposed to go in the sovereign wealth fund, no money at all. There's no constitutional provision for a sovereign wealth fund. All the monies that are collected in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is supposed to go in the consolidated fund.
Oh, all right. I think I got it. I keep hearing it, but I try to understand the system.
Yeah, but you're speaking very low for some reason. I'm straining to hear you.
You can hear me now?
Much better. Much better. Thanks.
Yeah, because I keep hearing about it, but I was trying, you know.
Yeah, we have never had a functioning sovereign wealth fund. And if we did have, and the vehicle that was set up by the government under some new provision would be a matter not of transferring monies to the wealth fund, but transferring assets to the wealth fund from which to the fund through which the income could be generated and then utilized by the fund for different national purposes.
All right, so it wouldn't be used directly to the people, but indirectly.
No, yeah, exactly. The new fund is called a National Investment Fund. And that fund replaced the Sovereign Wealth Fund, which was created in 2016 under an act in 2016. And what would happen under the new in National Investment Fund is that the government could use various national assets to generate income for the fund. And it would have an investment committee to be able to invest these assets and generate funds that could be used.
All right, sounds good. So like with the talk, they're talking about the carbon credit. That will go into mm-hmm. that?
It is conceivable that you could take any resources from carbon credits and put into that investment fund. That's conceivable. Otherwise, it could be used for environmental remediation things.
All right. Because the reason why I'm asking the question is because I heard Sparky talking about we are being basically priced out of our country, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at all the different nationalities that come into our country, most of them come with back and some come with their own funds. And the way the country is being run now with just minimum wage, I don't see the Bahamians having no upper hand in their own country. The average Bahamian, that is. And the average Bahamian are more than the ones would probably have a couple dollars. So I'm trying to figure out, because I was hoping that this Sovereign Wealth Fund was really active and something that the Bahamian people can benefit from to give us basically up hand or give us some sort of fighting chance in our own country, because of the way things are going up. Minimum wage, you can't survive off minimum wage, and you can't wait for election time for promises.
The vast majority make above minimum wage.
All right, so you're telling me that the majority of the Bahamians are making over $10,000 a month?
Absolutely. I am telling you that. I don't have to tell you that because I'm guessing it. We have statistics to show, to demonstrate it. All right? As I keep telling you guys, it's one thing to have a feeling about something, and it's another thing to do your research to try to get actual information about something, right? Everybody isn't living your life. You aren't living everybody else's life. We have to know what the stats say to help us be more informed. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. God spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great evening.